Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast on the day Australia are crowned World T20 champions. Now, who saw that coming before the competition began? They'd lost T20 tournaments to the West Indies and Bangladesh and lost them badly. They got hammered by England in their group match, but they have bounced back in extraordinary fashion. And in Aaron Finch, they have a captain, well, who can't stop winning the toss, and that in the end probably proved as crucial as any part that any of the players actually played in this, because for the 10th time in Dubai, a match played in the evening in this T20 World Cup was won by the team batting second. Of course, Finch won the toss, put New Zealand in, and New Zealand struggled to get going. After 10 overs, they were 57 for 1. They did get up to a magnificent 172 for 4 on the, when you consider how they were at the halfway mark, thanks to Kane Williamson. The skipper was absolutely brilliant. He equalled the highest ever score in the T20 World Cup final, set by Marlon Samuels against England, with 85. 85 from just 48 deliveries, including 10 fours and 3 sixes. He was given a bit of support by Martin Guptill, who never really got going, 28 off 35. And Jimmy Neesham's 13 off just 7 balls at the end certainly gave a little bit of much-needed impetus as well. As for the Australian bowlers, well, the standout was Josh Hazlewood. His 4 overs, 3 for 16. He was absolutely magnificent, doing exactly what his skipper needed him to do whenever he was thrown the ball. Talking of costly, Mitchell Stark's first 3 overs went for 50. His 4 went for 60. So a huge part of that New Zealand innings coming from the left-arm seamer. Elsewhere, there was a good spell yet again in this tournament for Adam Zampa, 1 for 26 from his 4 overs. When Australia batted, not for the first time, Aaron Finch went early, caught by Phillips in the deep off the wonderful Trent Bolt for just 5. But then the partnership that really made sure that this cup was heading to Australia. David Warner, superb, 53 from just 38 balls. But even he was overshadowed by Mitch Marsh. 77 not out at the death from just 50 deliveries. And from the moment he came in and hit his first ball from Adam Milne for 6, his second for 4 and his third for 4, he just set the tone. And after that, you always felt Australia were ahead of the run rate. Even M. Warner went. Glenn Maxwell came in and a fine 28 from him, including a reverse sweep to hit the winning 4, set up the victory by 8 wickets and 7 balls to spare. Well, Steve Harmison, delighted you're able to join us and to get your thoughts on what in the end probably wasn't the competitive final we were rather hoping for.
No, Guy, it wasn't. It was a good game. You know, it was a very, very good game, exciting game of T20 cricket. I want to say the toss wasn't the biggest part of it, but I just think it gives the team batting second gives them so much advantage, and that's been, it's been a shame a little bit in the tournament that as a whole, but I must admit, Guy, at halftime, I thought, you know what, 172, World Cup final, scoreboard pressure, runs on the board, this might be a good score. This might just be an in the game score, but it might just be a good score with a bowling unit that New Zealand possess. But unfortunately, New Zealand bowlers, for some reason, fluffed their lines. And you look at Southee, he had a bit of a struggle. Sodhi, I really felt for Sodhi, because the guy, I just got his name, you know, literally 20 seconds ago before we came on air. The guy Boswell in the final at Leicester all them years ago in the C&G final, when the occasion got to him and he didn't really want to let go of the ball. You know, Sodhi's last over, you could see he was playing in a World Cup final. He did not want to let go of that ball, and he was dragging it down. He bowled three wides. And I'm a good one for talking about wides, but yeah, look, this is, you know, when you look at it, Santner didn't bowl that great, and New Zealand didn't turn up with the ball. If they did, they would have made a great contest of the game, but they didn't. And you know, when you think 172 on a board, World Cup final, the way these pitches have been, Aaron Finch goes inside 10 balls, you're thinking, wow, we've got a chance here if you're New Zealand. And then Mitch Marsh hits his first ball out the ground for six, and then he hits two balls later, he hits 4-4, and you're thinking, how good does this guy look? All of a sudden, he'd never look back, did he? What an innings by Mitch Marsh. I think Adam Zampa, for me, has been the bowler of the tournament, if not the player of the tournament, and he might get that a little bit later on. But I think, you know, fair play to Australia. This has been a great chase. I had a go 24 hours ago of Glenn Maxwell saying either Big Show doesn't turn up in the big occasions, and in the IPL he's been relatively poor and he keeps going for lots of money. Well, I can safely put my size 12s back in my mouth, because I thought he played a gem of an innings. I really did. I thought Maxwell played. He thought about his game. Normally with Maxwell, he comes in, tries to hit every ball for six, and more often than not against good bowlers, he holds out on the boundary and he gets out. But I thought he batted beautifully alongside Mitch Marsh, and I'm happy to say at the start of the tournament, watch for Australia. They are going to be the dark horses and the outsiders. And I also did say, if you write David Warner off, just be careful, because this guy is class as permanent, along with Owen Morgan. You know, these two are proper players. And when it comes to the big occasion, more often than not, they stand up for their country. And I thought Warner got off to a good start against a bowling attack who just wasn't quite at it, minus obviously Trent Bolt, I thought was excellent.
Yeah, I was going to go into that with you a bit, Harmy, because this final was largely billed as the bowling team of the tournament.
Yeah.
That is New Zealand, and they have been sensational throughout this tournament, the bowlers, and the batsmen of Australia. Australia playing with only four recognised bowlers. They have to scrape together the other four overs from whoever fancies turning their arm a bit. And they were expensive today as well, the part-timers, so they can have the extra batsmen. They didn't need it today because three of the four top four batted so well. But yeah, for New Zealand, particularly after how close they got in the 50-over World Cup final, this was a chance for redemption. To have that feeling that, with the exception of Trent Bolt, who 2 for 18 off four, and his last over went for 10, that was just brilliant bowling throughout from him. And Williamson had to bring him back to get Warner out to try and stop things much earlier than he'd wanted to. But with that exception, how difficult is it for a bowler to go home knowing that they haven't given of their best in such a massive match?
Yeah, I think there's two things in that, Guy. I think they have given their best in, you know, they've tried their hardest, their utmost to do what they can for their country. But unfortunately, they've fallen short, whether it's the pressure's got to them, and it can do. You know, I sound like a broken record every time I say this, because I say this quite a bit. But sport is played by human beings and not by robots. These guys are mentally, they've got to get in a position to go and play on the big occasion, and more often than not, it's the world stars that do that. You can think of the football world, you can think of the golfing world. In the golfing world, you know, the top 100 players in the world can all hit it 350 yards, 320 yards, you know, draw it, fade it, good chippers, good putters. But unfortunately, when it comes to the majors, it's the same 10 players on the back nine on Sunday afternoon are the ones that contest the majors all the time, because mentally, at the big occasions, they stand up. And that, unfortunately for New Zealand, didn't happen for their players today. Apart from what you would see is their two guns, their two proper players. Their Ronaldos, their Messis, their Tiger Woods, their Rory McIlroys, Kane Williamson, and Trent Boult in a World T20 final or a World final. They stood up for their country today on an occasion which was obviously high pressured, and they did what champions do. But Williamson, 85 off 48 balls, and Boult 2 for 18 off 4. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. How they're on the losing side. How that's on the losing side. I sat for a bit and I was talking to my son. Me and Charlie talking about it, and I was saying, New Zealand win this. How many times has somebody got 80 off 50 balls been on the losing side in a T20 match? Very rare. And he's been on the losing side, but with 7 balls to go, which is just crazy. And that for me tells you, I think the pressure got to the other 9 New Zealand players. They didn't perform as well as their captain did or their champion players did throughout this T20 match. And when you look at the Australian players, Hazelwood, who I've got it in my notes from the Pakistan game, and when I said that Australia can improve, and the two players that need to improve before Sunday's final is Hazelwood had 0 for 49 off 4, and Stark had 2 for 38 off 4, and Stark 0 for 60. He literally went round the park, but Hazelwood came back, came good, and he got his 3 for 16 and limited to New Zealand to 172. So all in all, I think New Zealand didn't deserve to win the final because collective unit they didn't play well enough. Two of their champions played brilliantly, but Australia as a unit played better than New Zealand, and that's sometimes it's not good enough to win, Guy, in 2020 cricket, because somebody will just play an innings out of nowhere and blow you away. But today, I think the collective unit deserved to win this cricket match, and that was Australia, because not for what Mitch Marsh did, but I think the whole batting unit of Australia turned up, performed, and got themselves in a position to get themselves over the line and deserve to be champions.
That sees us with Australia crowned world champions at T20. It's been a pretty interesting competition, though, throughout, and we'll be talking about that more after the break.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Welcome back. Right, throughout this tournament, we have seen key moments that have won matches for one team or the other, whether it's trying to hit a six over the top of Jason Holder who happens to be 6 foot nine, and when he's jumping about 12 foot eight and being caught out rather than going over the boundary, to walking out to a World Cup final and smashing your first ball for six. Story of the day. Harmy, the moment of the day, story of the day. It was that six from Mitchell Marsh.
It was, Guy, it was. I think if New Zealand win, it would be the story of the day, unfortunately. For Josh Hazlewood, who bowled brilliantly, 3 for 16 off four overs, would have been the drop catch. And Williamson going on to win the game for his side. And that would have been the story of the day if New Zealand had got there. But to hit the first ball 90 mile an hour, yeah, out the ground for six, I think that's the story of the day, because not only did he do that, he went on two balls later to hit, I think, a four and a four. And it just changed the way the New Zealand's body language in this game looked, because I think from that six, it seemed to release Warner. And then all of a sudden, because he had hit the boundary early, it's like the pressure was off and he could get himself into his innings. I think he had 14 off about five balls. And all of a sudden, if you've got 7 off 7, are we seen in the first innings, Gupta will really struggle because he was behind the eight ball, because he had faced a lot of balls and he then holed out. All of a sudden, Marsh is now ahead of the rate. And because he's done that, he's bought himself a little bit of time. And time is so precious in 2020 cricket. So for me, the story of the day, the moment of the day, was definitely the first ball Mitch Marsh faced, which he dispatched into the crowd.
Yeah, and even though Adam Milne did actually fight back pretty well after that, that was the scene set, and suddenly the run rate always looked very much within reach as far as Australia were concerned, particularly with the in-form. Once again, David Warner, what a redemptive tournament this has been for him. He was being written off. He couldn't even get in the 15-man squad in the IPL, and you felt as if maybe his day had passed. But as you said, Harmy, earlier, you write that man off at your peril, and several teams who may have written him off in this tournament have come to rather regret it.
They have, yeah, Guy, and I think Warner's a fantastic player. I remember playing with David Warner, a very, very young David Warner at Durham when he first came over. He came on the scene. And David Warner's a nice guy. I've got a lot of time for David Warner as a cricketer and as a person. Sometimes he crosses the line and he needs criticised, and rightly so. I've criticised him. When he do cross the line, there's things that you think, right, you've just gone over. But he plays on the edge. He needs to play on the edge all the time, because that's what gets the best out of David Warner. And I would love him. I'd love to have him in my side, because he's a winner. He's a natural winner, because the standards he sets himself, but the things that he demands on others, and which is making sure you're doing your job properly. So, form is the old cliche. Form is temporary, but the class is always permanent. And when you come up against, or when you come in the big stage and the big occasions, i.e. finals, semi-finals, you look for your big players to turn up. And David Warner didn't disappoint for me. He didn't disappoint. I thought he was excellent in the field. He's that little Jack Russell in the field, because if you remember, Guy, after what happened in South Africa in Cape Town, he then became everybody's nicest. He became a nice man, and everybody. And I remember saying quite a few times, I want the old David Warner back, because I don't want him to be friendly with the opposition. I don't want him to be friendly with the Barmy Army. I want him to be that aggressive little Jack Russell, that terrier that is there, because that's what brings the best out of David Warner. And I think slowly but surely that David Warner's coming back. I think he understands the game, and he understands where the line is now. And I think he's a fantastic player. He is a fantastic player, and I haven't spent a little bit of time with him in his early years. I actually like him because he's a nice guy as well. He's not what everybody perceives him to be. There is a kind heart in there. I think you've just got to follow him on social media to see what a great family man he is. There is the David Warner that goes on the field, and there's a David Warner that's off the field. And I think he deserved his success, because when a champion stands up in a final, gets 50 like he has done, wins the game, helps win the game for his side, Yeah, he deserves all the praise that he should get because he's been kicked more often than not. So as much as I'm talking nicely about an Australian, I think you've got to show a huge amount of admiration for somebody who has been at the top for a long, long time in the shorter format of the game. And he deserves his winner's medal.
That's a perfect way now to move on. We've paid tribute to someone who's been instrumental in Australia's success. But that success has been hard won, and not the only success of the tournament, of course, because we saw the smaller teams, if that's not an offensive description of them, the non-test playing countries battling for a place in this, the final 12 of this T20 World Cup. And guess who made it? And will be back again for the next T20 World Cup next year. Scotland. That was a really nice way to start the tournament off, I felt, as for British fans of the sport and not just English fans.
Absolutely, Guy. And I think for the first time, not ever, because I'll be kicking them too much, that, but for the first time in a long time, the ICC have actually got something right, where they've made the Associated Nations part of the tournament, but not dragged the big guns into it. So, and what I mean by that is, you know, normally you'll get five or six of the Associated Nations playing in the tournament, and a lot of the games are all one-sided, and it's not great cricket. You're taking two, three weeks out of the calendar for teams who are like the likes of India, England, Australia, South Africa, all the big guns that don't really need that time out of the calendar. And what you're doing is you're basically saying, right, we're going to have a competition within a competition, and the winners, you know, they get the chance of the big, you know, the big fish at the end of it, which would be to be in the group with the big boys. And for Scotland to be in the competition with the likes of India and Pakistan, New Zealand, who have gone on to the final, I think it's fantastic. I think it is. I think it's really good, and I think that needs to stay. You know, I want the emerging nations to get better. Want the emerging nations to play this beautiful game we all love at the highest level possible, within the boundaries and scopes, which are in not devaluing tournaments. And I think that way is having their own tournament. And if you do well in that tournament, you get well rewarded, which is financially it'll be great. And then you get to play five games against, you know, the big boys, and hopefully you can either make an upset, make a name for yourself, but also you can educate not only the people that are playing in the game for that country, but also the people at home. I think there's a lot of people in Scotland who have really enjoyed watching Scotland play. And Kyle Kurtz is a great leader for that team, and I'm so pleased for Scotland the way they've performed. And they've been on the Cricket Collective once, I think three times throughout the tournament, whether it's, you know, with Shane Berger, their coach, who's led them very, very well, and also Namibia as well. So if they can keep doing that, the ICC, then I think the world of cricket is in a better place.
You're listening to the Following On podcast. Scotland, of course, they qualified for the last 12. We have to mention, was this a good tournament or not? As far as England are concerned, India, of course, we could talk about, but time is getting against us here. But Harmy, your thoughts on England in this tournament? Came in as many people's favourites, the number one ranked team in the world. Good or bad World Cup for Owen Morgan and his men?
No, good World Cup for me. Good World Cup, lost on one over. The game was England's. It was all England's until Jimmy Neesham hit Chris Jordan in that one over. You'll not get me having a go. I've seen on Twitter in the last couple of days people having a go at Morgan. Yeah, Owen Morgan will have to question whether he still warrants a place and values a place in this side. He'll have to do that himself. I personally would like Owen Morgan to stay. I think he is too good of a leader, and I think if he's sort of four or five runs short, then somebody else batting in that place at number four and number five over the course of a year's period, I think his captaincy makes that up and more. So if you think Stokes has got to fit back in somewhere, if you think somebody else can maybe get, you know, over the course of the year, four or five, 10 runs more than what Owen Morgan would, I still think his captaincy is worth more than that. So I still would like him to stay on as leader. I think England have had a good tournament. And, you know, these things happen, Guy. And you have one over, which completely changed the context of the game. And that's what happened with Jordan in that game against Jimmy Neesham. I would nearly, I'm not a big one for social media, Guy, of replying to people. And I've been critical of Jofra Archer in the past. And Jofra Archer, there was an article wrote in, I think it was The Cricketer this week, and Jofra Archer took offence to it about Chris Jordan. And I thought his response was brilliant. I thought Jofra's response was brilliant. And I would have tweeted back saying, basically saying, you know, Jofra's, because he took some stick for it, are you just backing your mate up? And I thought, he's not backing his mate up here. He's backing his professional. You know, Jofra Archer puts himself in a position. I'm sorry, Chris Jordan put himself in a position to bowl two of the last three overs from one end in a semi-final of a World T20. And he got carted. He got hit out of the park. You know, somebody can bat well, somebody can bowl well, and that's the difference between winning the game. And I think that was the difference between winning and losing the game for England. So I think Jofra was, I knew what he was saying. He was trying to defend his profession, the bowling profession. And if England were playing tomorrow and there was three overs from one end left, and then there was, they needed 10, 12 an over like Neesham did or more, if it wasn't for, if Archer was injured, I'd throw the ball to Chris Jordan and I would do it again. I'd throw a ball to Chris Jordan again. So for me, it was one over that cost England the tournament. But these things can happen in 2020 cricket because, you know, the nature of the game. So for me, I thought England played very, very well in this tournament. And it's a big tick in the box for everybody that was involved. It just, unfortunately, they got beat. And they got knocked over by somebody who was absolutely brilliant in Neesham for one over out of the 20. So, you know, fair play to New Zealand for beating England. But I think England did well in this tournament.
Now, another person who did very well in this tournament was, of course, Justin Langer, the coach of Australia, who coming into this was under pressure from Australian fans, under pressure from the Australian media, and even we heard from within the Australian camp. But Justin Langer has turned this ship around and is now the coach of a World Cup winning team. Pretty good tournament as far as Justin Langer's concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Langer will have a quiet beer with, obviously, his coaching staff. Somebody I know very, very well, played with him for years, and top man Michael DiVinito, Surrey, won Surrey the championship, I think it was, when he was coach there. I seen Diver on the TV. He was involved in that. Look, when you're at the forefront of international sport and you're in charge, then you have an indifferent deer and that's it. Everybody's wanting your head. Unfortunately for Australia, something I would never have really enjoyed. They had a fly in the wall documentary where everybody could see what was going on, I think it was on Amazon, during the Ashes that was in England. And some people have picked up on things that Langer did and said and whatever. The thing I found it very, very difficult to comprehend is they criticised Justin Langer for his coaching ability over the course of the last year. Australia haven't played any cricket. The 2020 games they have played, they've sent a B-side. In the game that they played, they haven't travelled away from home to play test matches in COVID. They got beat off India from a ridiculous innings by Rishabh Pant in, I think it was in Brisbane, in a one-off in a game there. So look, I think Langer's a good. I know Langer's a good man. I know Langer's a good man because I know him personally, and he is a good man, and I think he is a good coach. In it comes down to your players standing up and having character for themselves rather than for the coach. And I've just watched them win a World Cup. They embraced Justin Langer like he was very, very popular inside that group. And sometimes, you know, from the outside world, you know, you can look into too much of things that are said or done. And I think Langer's been harshly treated on that front. At the end of the day, by the time, you know, middle of January, Justin Langer could be a World Cup winning coach and an Ashes winning coach as well. So I think he'll have a nice smile on his face when he's having that beer and he goes back to Australia in a position. Will Justin say something to shut a few people up? I think he actually might.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
So, what's going to happen tomorrow? Usually, after a World Cup final and nothing much happening for a while, we probably wouldn't run this section. However, there is something happening tomorrow that is, quite strange, really. Justin Langer, if he's still celebrating, will be celebrating on an aeroplane heading back to Australia alongside the England team, who are going to be on the same flight back to Australia for the Ashes. Thoughts on what might be an interesting trip?
Yeah, it could be an interesting trip for a wide number of reasons. This could be one of the first times I'd really be quite happily turning right on an aeroplane guy, to be honest, if I was an Englishman. I think, you know, the old saying, it's Darren Goff's favourite saying. You know, Darren Goff would always say, and whenever you travel with Goffy, he'll always say, no, you never turn right when you go up the stairs. And and I don't think Goffey's ever turned right since he's been a professional cricketer and then gone into his broadcasting days where he's got a few quid in his pocket, that he's ever turned right on an aeroplane. He's always got to go left into the posh seats. I think this might be one of the only times I'd be quite happy to go right and go all the way to the back of the plane. Let Australia have their fun. Let them have their party because they've deserved it. There's not many. I don't think there's too many, is there, English players that are going on that trip? Five or six, if that. That'll be going to Australia along with the coaching staff. It could be a boisterous flight, but hey, they enjoy their celebration. They've deserved it. They're rightly crowned world champions because they've played the best cricket at the most crucial times. After what happened in Trafalgar Square in 2005, who am I to argue with anybody having a celebration when you win something special?
You've been listening to the Following On podcast from TalkSport, and it's Australia who are crowned champions of the T20 World Cup. Harmy will be back alongside Neil Manthorpe on the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, so listen out for that. This has been the Following On podcast from TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.